Let's tell the listeners a beautiful story about wallets. Over a year ago, I saw you carrying a wallet, and I immediately went out and bought that same wallet because I thought it was amazing.
Yes, and that wallet I saw, Jackie Tran was using it, saw it, wanted it immediately, asked him who made it, and he told me it was Andar Wallets, and it was one of the coolest wallets I've ever seen. It was nice and compact. It has the RFID protected. I mean, it was a really awesome, well-made wallet. Yeah.
It's actually great to hear. I didn't know you guys had been into these for so long.
Yeah.
So there's something strange about these wallets is that they push it to the limit and they do something different that other wallets don't do. I'm carrying this wallet right now. It's called the Turner that has this little pull tab on it. So like when I load my cards into it, I can pull this pull tab and all my cards slide out. They have this beautiful wallet that just dropped called the Pilot that has a little rotating wheel on the bottom.
I'm going to snag me one of those for sure.
That when you load your cards in, you can roll the wheel on your leg, you can flip it with your thumb, and your cards just pop out just enough to kind of grab them and pull them out. I had a Pilot, their original Pilot, a year ago.
That's the one, that hooked us.
That's the one that hooked us. And you have no idea how many people at stores when I was paying, how many people saw me flip those cards out, wanted that wallet, and wanted to find out where we got that wallet. So we contacted Andar and told them this story, and they gave us a promo code that you guys can use to get
And I want to throw in a personal discount because I'm new to the game, but for me, I'm a guy who forever has been the guy who has that wallet that is like 5 inches thick and just filled with crap.
Changed my life.
So transitioning over to the Andar wallets, and I've got the Griffin, it has literally changed everything. I couldn't even sit down with a wallet in my pocket. It was so big. So in this case, it was a matter of kind of paring down, using the different kind of slots, the RFID protection I like. I also like that the wallet has like a built-in money clip. I've always thought money clips are cool, but kind of not really practical.
Yeah.
Like you can carry your cards in one. This combines the two. So it combines a money clip, combines kind of this easy access to the your ID or to credit cards. And it's literally changed my game. I love it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked back.
It's a must for someone who wants to go from that huge
10-pound wallet
down to a front pocket wallet.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's stylish. I know my wife, when I first got it, she was like, that's actually a really cool wallet. Like she picked up on that without me even bringing it up. So
Do you have the link in the promo code for them?
So yeah, if you guys are interested in checking out these amazing wallets, go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
That's awesome.
Do it.
Do it.
You won't regret it.
No, you won't.
Your pockets will thank you.
Oh, look at this guy. Go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
Hey there. This is Bruce Willis calling. And I'm here with my good friend, Ben Affleck.
Hey, how you doing? It's Ben Affleck over here.
Anyway, look, we kicked some major ass in that movie Armageddon, destroying a large asteroid. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And,
we sure did.
Shut up. And, so anyway, I was sitting here with my phone, and all of a sudden I came across this asteroid factory. I said to myself, whew, Bruce, you've got quite a pickle. Probably not something Bruce Willis would say. But anyway, you sons of bitches are trying to make asteroids?
Yeah, that's no good.
I gotta get out of here. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
All I can say is I am honored that Ben Affleck listens to this podcast. I'm
crying. That's so wrong.
Goosebumps when I heard his voice.
Right?
Our
fan base is expanding exponentially. That is some sweet tech over there, Chewy. Outstanding.
You're welcome.
Man.
Oh, breathe.
Who did that impersonation of Bruce Willis?
That was through the voicemail, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's impressive. I thought it was him. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Bruce is an old friend of ours.
Yeah, he sure is.
Ben Affleck was like an old-time carnival barker.
That Ben Affleck impersonation was almost as good as the Team America.
Like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Want to kick us off?
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to the Asteroid Factory podcast, where we are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And I'm Three Toes of Fury.
What are I?
Oh. And I'm Bruce Willis.
Breathtaking.
Who wants to give their pick of the week this week?
What?
Oh, fuck. Volley. You get when you guys.
I'll
start.
Go.
Yeah.
Chewy.
My pick of the week. What? Oh, I'm sorry. You want to give it to me? Okay, here we go.
Here's Chewy's throbbing pick of the week.
It's not that throbbing. My pick of the week is the news that they are making a Sandman movie
on Netflix. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I thought it was a show. Is it a movie?
I'm sorry. A Sandman TV show on Netflix. When I was a sophomore, I think, in high school, it was either sophomore or junior, one of my buddies was obsessed with Sandman amongst a whole bunch of other comic books, and he turned me on to reading it. I think I read maybe a big chunk of the first run, maybe like 1 through 45, and I kind of fell off. I wish I didn't. Mm. I just recently did some research and found out that there's about, I think, almost a little under 100 of the first run of Sandman, not counting all the different universe things that Neil Gaiman has done with it. I'm just kind of hyped up about that. So much so that I actually walked into a Barnes & Noble yesterday, because I don't own any of it anymore. Mm. It's all gone. I walked in. I wish I did. I actually looked up issue one, and it's going on eBay now for like $3,000 or something like that.
What? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Are you talking an individual issue
like
or not a
first
trade?
Run number one Sandman comic with the full title in mint condition is very expensive.
God. Yeah, I just gave away a bunch of comics. Anyway.
I just gave away all my Sandman. So I'm super pumped about it. It should make for some crazy TV. It could, if they do it right and they pump as much money into it as they say they are, it could be another, I don't want to say another Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones kind of ended with a whimper, but it could be on that level of amazingness. People say The Witcher is going to be.
I was just
going to
say.
I don't think The Witcher is.
I don't know The Witcher. What's that?
It's a video game.
Okay.
One of the bigger titles of the last decade, but I mean, you got Henry Cavill as the Witcher.
The Stash.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, check out Witcher Marketing.
It looks good.
It looks like Game of Thrones. It looks like, hey, like the back shot of Henry Cavill as the character looks like a Targaryen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you know they were fucking rock hard when Game of Thrones shit the bed and they're like, yes.
And they're ready to pick it up.
But yeah, I'm just super pumped about it. So much so that I went to Barnes & Noble, tried to find it. They didn't have it. What I wanted, I stopped by the only comic book shop near my house. They didn't have anything. So, and I'm really kind of hesitant to
just buy the digital.
And I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do I buy the digital and is it readable?
Yeah.
Is it
enjoyable?
Do you have
a tablet?
I do.
Yeah, that's worth it.
I started reading comics on my tablet as well recently, and it's not.
What a fucking hypocrite. The guy can't buy a goddamn digital movie, but he's got digital comics.
Back down.
No,
back
down. I can't.
Back up. It came down to one of the advantages of being able to get something instantly when you want it.
No.
It's not 100%. I still prefer the print, but for this one, I think I might actually suggest going digital as well, because the trade collections, there's about 10 collections, maybe 12 that compromise most of the series. They're great, but it's a pretty big investment if you're going to go.
Oh, yeah.
The other option is to think about, and it's so weird you bring this up, because I was just recently at Half Price Books and they had a couple of the Ultimate Editions. Do you own any Ultimate Editions of graphics? Like I do with the Ultimate Watchmen.
Yeah.
So the Ultimate, they had a couple behind the counter. They still had it for like $100 a piece, and they're probably like 6 volumes. God, they're gorgeous. And I wanted to buy them because Sandman is one of my all-time favorite, like, compulsive reads from beginning to end. But to really jump into that pool, digital will probably serve you well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think that the first couple episodes were a couple bucks.
And the ones I've bought, like the older ones, I can't remember what graphic novel it was, but like they touch it up. Like the digital is gorgeous.
Right.
Like it's better than the trade paperback for sure.
And it's one that I've reread the whole series at least once, but the past couple years been wanting to, because they keep toying with the idea of doing something with this. This is huge. To me, this is next. When they did the Watchmen adaptation, they're coming up with another one, well, kind of, interpretation. I was like, that's kind of unfilmable, and I happen to like the Snyder Watchmen a lot more than a lot of fanboys, but
yeah, it's good.
This is, if they do it right,
yeah,
and to do something like this material right is so difficult because it is not a linear story. It is not a story that lives in just kind of a normal storytelling. It's very esoteric. It's very mind-based. It's very jumps all around. It's visual, incredible visuals.
Yeah.
So I do not know how you adapt it. I don't. Yeah. I don't know even how you adapt the main character. Like, it's Morpheus is so fucking freaky and just like there. It's hard to describe. So I'm excited as all get out, but I don't know how you do this. I don't.
Who do they cast as Morpheus? Oof. Someone Morris, I think.
Fishburne?
there was some.
Samuel Jackson?
I was listening to a podcast.
I don't remember dreaming a goddamn thing.
It may have been one of Kevin Smith's podcasts where someone said that they should cast, or it would have been awesome to see David Bowie cast as Morpheus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bowie would be Bowie. That's a great idea.
Something like that.
You need somebody who's androgynous.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, oh. They're gonna give it to Tilda, aren't they?
She's got. She's
would
got
you that. Give it to Tilda?
Yeah, I would.
Well, you're a time lord.
Here's one last question about the Sandman. Isn't that kind of weird?
That is what will happen when I'm finished.
Just so you know, Helen will be jealous of what you just said.
Wrong one. Get there.
Last question about Sandman. Isn't Vertigo
Sandman.
So Sing Sandman was on dream. DC
yeah.
and then moved to Vertigo DC.
And is Vertigo now, DC or is Dark Horse DC?
What was Sandman originally on? Vertigo?
I thought it was like DC Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now then it was shifted primarily to Vertigo. I could be completely wrong. But isn't Vertigo all completely gone now? It's one of the things they got rid of?
No. Maybe.
Like absorbed. Yeah. But yeah. I think so for the show, because the show was like kind of a rumor on again, off again. They've confirmed it. But I think Gaiman is on board.
Neil.
Yeah. Just, and maybe involved hopefully with the writing and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's a big plus.
If he's writing it, then
that's a big plus. So wow. To see that in our
universe.
Lifetime. It is.
It's another universe that they're gonna create.
And it's if it sticks, they have source material for seasons and seasons and seasons worth and characters that are so awesome.
Yeah.
But I want to know how they're gonna handle the necrophilia. That's like my
probably visually.
Okay.
Maybe some CGI.
Yeah, I remember reading it when I was younger and I got to some necrophilia and I could not continue. My brain would not allow it.
Oh, it's
and I'm afraid it's gonna change. Like, that was my fear. It's like it's gonna get worse. I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh no. It's weird and it's obtuse. I think he wrote maybe one final tag because there was years and years with nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe about 2 years ago they came out with a series of stories for it. And I always had a tough time kind of forging through. It's so all over the place.
Yeah.
Which to its benefit, but to challenge to adapt. So
yeah. It kind of harkens back because I was a reader of some Clive Barker stuff, like some crazy sci-fi Clive Barker stuff, and it kind of reminded me of that stuff when I was younger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great pick. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go.
All right.
Here is Doom's pick of the week.
All right. So I'm going to go with, is precog the word I'm looking for? It hasn't dropped yet.
Minority Report?
You know,
hmm.
No, it's a game that's coming out on the 19th of July, so I haven't played it yet. Okay. I'm going on the record to say that it will be just a boatload of fun. It is a Nintendo Switch exclusive.
I didn't even know you do Switch.
Oh, yeah, I'm in deep.
Oh,
deep. I've been trying to talk Chewy into getting one for a while.
Yeah.
It's,
there's the new portable one that they just dropped the price on.
What was the rumor we heard? It could be a Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, Prime Day. The original. I think they're going to knock down some bucks original. Off of.
What would be a good price, hypothetical, for a friend who might be on Amazon Prime all day?
If you can get a new full fledged Switch for $200, snag that shit.
Say for $200.
Yeah,
and that gets the dock and the movable.
That's
thing.
That's the dock. Yeah, and but yeah,
you need to dock.
We're docking
we
right
need
now,
to dock.
That's why me and Three Tails sit on this. that's why we sit on the same side of the table. Thank you, Helen.
Big fan of docking,
sorry,
Helen.
Yeah, Yeah, sorry for the soundboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
Whitey.
The name of the game, Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Got three. It. We talked about this one.
We did. It is, yeah, it blew, well, I think it blew a lot of people's minds in the wrong direction that it was a Nintendo Switch exclusive.
Oh, what?
So, yeah, but it is one of my all-time favorite games growing up as a kid. I have such fond memories of playing with my friends, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 games. It's kind of like a dungeon crawler. You get four players at the same time if you'd like, and you just run around levels as, like, Wolverine or Storm, and you just blow shit up and kill people.
So top-down view?
Yeah, top-down. And this one looks amazing. I mean, it's taken everything they did with the first two games and games since and just expanded on it. There's something like 34 people you can be. And Crystal, it's weird to say. I was talking to Jackie Tran about this. I love that the Switch understands that it can't compete graphically with the PS4 or an Xbox One, but they take their cartoonish graphics and make them crystal clear. So it's still gorgeous. Yeah. It's not the realism you're going for, and they're like, fuck it, let's just do what we can and make it perfect, and they have.
You don't always need photorealism in video games.
Exactly. No, you don't.
But so what? So how do the graphics work in a game? Like, if you're doing top down, does the camera angle change times where you're actually seeing the characters?
It's it's not exactly top down. I forgot what they call it. It's like three quarters.
Yeah, something. You're more on an angle, but then there might be a level where you're like a side scroller, and it's like Mario, and you're, I mean. It's not necessarily a side scroller, but the camera moves.
Lots of magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm big right now.
The single player, non-networked player capabilities.
I want to say.
Or is this really a game
you got to be? If you have like four people with a Switch in the same room, you can do four people on their own screens.
But otherwise, you can play just fine with player characters in the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You just. I'll probably play by myself.
Oh. What are they teasing in the marketing materials? Did they show Thanos?
Yes. And what? It's all comic. It is called Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. So it's the characters from the movie that we were just introduced in Infinity War. His buddies?
Yes.
They're all in it. And Thanos is in
children?
It. Yep, the children of Thanos.
Oh, like, what's his name? Morph Maw?
Ebony Maw?
Maw. Maw will be there?
He'll be there.
I like Maw. I like Maw a lot.
I mean, I honestly
smile,
can't wait.
The smile on Three Toes' face when he says he likes Maw.
I mean, I want to have sex with him.
He wants to pull that white hair when he's. I mean, anyway, I can't wait.
Awesome.
It's endlessly replayable. I mean, 36 characters. I'm gonna beat that game.
Dude, are you transitioning systems from PS4 more to Switch?
I kind
of
am.
Yeah. I feel like the Switch has become kind of the zeitgeist of the nerddom. I hear more references to Switch than Xbox or PlayStation constantly. True.
I mean, it's funny you say that because I was like, man, do I even need the PS5? But then I feel like I kind of do because my friends haven't made that transition to the Switch much. So it's that's the social, which is fucked up because the Switch should be the social system, but it's amazing. Buy one.
Awesome.
Sponsor us, Nintendo.
Please.
Yeah, that's my click to pick. Pick to click? Yeah. Whatever. That's my vote.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. I'm down. And a Prime Day.
Do you want to
refresh?
Do you want to kick him out of his?
Now it's Three Toes Asteroid Pick of the Week. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
I feel a theme. I think mine will be brief, which is almost never happens for me. I consume a fair amount of podcasts, and at some point as this our podcast evolves, maybe at some point I'll have a regular column on here about them. But my pick of the week is one specific episode of a specific podcast. The podcast, which I'd never listened to before, is called The Pure Cinema Podcast, and I'm highly suggesting people go out and listen to the most recent episode, which was The New Beverly Calendar for July. So, New Beverly. Heard of it?
Never Tarantino's known. Theater?
I love you guys. I love you both. I want you to know that. So, yes, that's Tarantino. I think he owns it or he co-owns it, but he curates it.
Yeah.
And so, apparently, this is a podcast where they'll talk about the movies that show there. So, for those who don't know, this is a movie theater in L.A. that I think shut down for some period of time, reopened. But it is very much in the vein of an art house movie theater. So, they will show a lot of, like, old school, obscure, random genre movies. For those of us Chicago listeners, I think the Music Box is a very similar type of environment, and it's one that I really just regret not living closer to, because the New Beverly, fuck, but if we live near that, I would be pushing us to go a lot.
Yeah.
So July, Tarantino curates always. So July, they picked some of the most obscure, so many movies, almost all I've never heard of, and I can't believe that. So this podcast is normally a couple people who own the theater, run it, talking about them. This one they had Tarantino sit in on. And so it's 2.5 hours, 3 hours of him, which is pretty rare on podcasts.
About himself.
I was just going to
say. Oh, totally. Yeah. But no, what he does, and I this is why it's my pick, is he gets ahead of, I've never heard him do this, where all of his movies, we've talked about how there's a lot of references, a lot of what?
Feet.
A lot of feet. Maybe when I say references, I'll put that in quotes because sometimes it gets to the point where, you know, I'm like, I think he's aping things more than he's given credit for. Yeah. In this case, they are going through and talking about all these obscure movies that they're programming up until the release of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we'll maybe talk about in our next segment, and the influences they had on the movie. And he goes through it and he analyzes them. He talks about the characters, the actors, how they tie into the characters and actors in the new movie. And so it's the first time I've ever actually heard him dissect his own work before it, so much so that he's not, it's not spoiler, but he's giving backstory on characters that we won't see in the movie.
Yeah.
And I found it endlessly enjoyable. And it's, to me, it's like I'm jotting down movie titles that maybe I'll be able to find. I mean, a big kind of part of that theater is they get a hold of obscure prints because he's really only into like prints. So it, to me, it's just a perfect segue into the my excitement around this next movie and maybe even a little preparation around it because he's really touching on actors and movies during a time of in the 60s that I don't have a lot of connection with, and I'm pretty stoked to go down that rabbit hole. So
he's always done that with his releases. He's always tried to find some way to publish some kind of list of the movies that influenced him into making the movie that's coming out. I remember that really big with Kill Bill.
Right. There was a lot of that, and you and I talked about that, there are certain things online. A lot of times I always felt like...
Glorious Bastards too.
Yep, people. A lot of times I felt people retconned those lists back after the fact and found a lot of that type of stuff. In this case, it's the amount of info that he gives is it's really cool.
Is this his final film, or is he saying he wants to do a 10th, right?
You know, he always said 10, but you know what? I take anything like that with a kind of a grain spoonful of sugar. I mean, Kevin Smith retired
salt.
Multiple times. Salt. That's it, too. He retired from filmmaking. He's back. And as far as Tarantino goes, I mean, I do think he's always said that 10 was a round number. But then there's also all these rumors about him possibly doing this R-rated Trek movie, which is on again,
Holy
off again.
Shit,
I mean, he's not
going to
end on that. And so we'll see. So
he's a king of contradicting himself.
Yeah. And I, frankly, I don't want him to stop. I mean, I'm okay if he spaces them out over time and works on them. I think the payoff.
Maybe we'll finally get that scene of Kirk and Spock docking.
What?
That's not talking about starships either.
That's logical, Jim. I've got your pizza, Spock. Just reach for the pepperoni.
It's the sausage, man.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm a doctor, not an anal specialist.
Hey.
Now lick my taint. This is some pretty good ripping.
I don't know. It got dark real fast there. Three toes.
Star Trek porn parody.
So Pure Cinema podcast.
Yep. It's a good one.
Let's do it.
It's a good one. It's prep for the movie and probably a good segue.
Cool. So, we need to segue into what we're talking about this week.
All right. So this week's subject of the day is 2019's remaining tentpoles. Doom, I'm waiting for your tentpole joke.
I got one right here.
Ooh, that's a pup tent. We did this joke before. So let's take a look at the calendar. What is coming up? I think we're mostly talking movies, sure. What's coming up? What are we excited for? What's kind of under the radar? What early vibe is going to kind of suck?
First question, what are you most excited for off the top of your head before the end of the year? Like, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
It too, for me.
It too?
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I want to see if it shits the bed or not.
It's crazy you picked that one. I don't know if you saw, about a week ago, might have been Entertainment Weekly, started releasing some more photos of the cast. Mm-hmm. I am so jazzed.
I really don't think they will. And that's why I'm nervous, is because if they do, I will be crushed. I think it looks great. I like the cast. Bill Hader is, Richie Tozier is... Wait for that.
But Hader, he can do no wrong. He's great. And I my only prediction is that the first movie, they obviously changed the flow, at least from the original miniseries and the book, jumping around in time. And a lot of people were worried about that because the kids were so fucking good in that first movie. I think the second movie will not just rely on the adults, and that we will see more flashbacks to the kids. I'm counting on it. And I think it almost needs that. It doesn't need it for the entirety, but they need to kind of remind us about how we started this journey. But I can't believe that's your pick.
For sure. I mean, Star Wars is going to be big, but I don't know.
I was going to say the first thing that pops into my head is Star Wars, but I think that's just because it's so...
It's the end, Chewie.
Yeah. The end of what?
It's such a wild... We talked about that on the last cast, too. And Star Wars is so...
It's the end for a year-ish. I think is 2021 the start of a new Star Wars trilogy? Is 2021?
No.
Yeah.
Or 2021 or 22.
Is that the Benioff Weiss one? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. That soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just kind of assumed everybody would pick Star Wars, but no. Star Wars is your...
It too. It one was, I'm telling you, top five horror movies of all time.
I need to rewatch.
Of the last five years, number one horror movie.
It's so good. I mean, where it went, its opening 5 minutes is one of...
All of it, yeah.
It's the story. It drives the story. It drives the book. But it is one of the I can't believe they went there type of situations. And then they went there further with
eat that kid's arm,
right.
I would have walked out.
But I do that. Oh, I can't.
Does that make me a bad person?
Slightly.
Yeah.
Just slightly.
Georgie.
But we're all slightly weird and bad. What are you going for? Just top of your head.
No, and it's not just because I just talked about it. Coming into this cast and coming into this year. Once upon a time in Hollywood. For me, I
wish I could say that was the one I was most excited for. But for some reason, and you're talking to someone who's...
You're looking at someone who is,
and I will say is, a huge Tarantino fan.
Of course.
And always has been. However, I'm not as big as I was back in my youth. Like when in my youth it was, he is one of the best directors that has ever lived.
You would have gave him an over the pants hand job had you seen him in person 10 years ago. Nope. Nope. Yep. Nope.
That works. Yeah, probably not. But
don't lie to me.
I would have given him a very
clickety clack
firm handshake.
Oh. Yes, you would have.
Yeah,
you would have rubbed the palm
while he was licking your feet.
Yeah, a little. But yeah, or go on. Go
Once
on about
time
what
you're
talking
about. No, I see where you're coming from. I'm probably on the same boat a little bit. His last couple movies, I love and adore, but I think they've taken me.
What were his last couple?
Hateful Eight.
Then Django?
Django
and Hateful Eight.
And then what was before Django?
Was it Kill Bill before that, right?
Inglourious Basterds.
It's even that. So those last three, we've talked about that as well, where it took the rewatchability wasn't nearly as much as the series before that. I mean, Kill Bill is, I can't.
One of the greatest
movies
of all time.
I cannot watch them enough. I cannot watch Pulp Fiction enough. I cannot watch Reservoir Dogs enough. But those recent ones.
I cannot watch his episode of CSI enough.
I do have to see that.
It's really good. It's actually one of the best episodes of CSI there are.
I gotta find it.
I'm sorry. Is it CSI or is it,
Golden Girls?
No,
let's all take off our shoes and do a little bit of a salt bath for 45 minutes.
Would you compare Quentin Tarantino on CSI to Burt Reynolds on Golden Girls? Because I will.
I've never seen the show.
I'm sorry.
Oh God,
what?
No.
You've never seen Golden Girls?
I've never seen 5 minutes of that show. I love making fun of it, but no.
Wait, what? You've never seen a Golden Girls episode?
You guys both so taken aback. What, you have seen a lot of them?
Golden Girls.
It's one of the greatest sitcoms in the history of television.
What are you talking about?
If someone says,
I can't tell.
If someone says the Cosby Show is one of the best sitcoms ever produced,
I've seen even less of that.
You can trump that person and say Golden Girls is better.
I'd like to point out your last sentence had a reference to Cosby and Trump in it at the same time.
Cosby.
Get out, Izzy. Get this racist. I can't even say it. So no, I haven't.
Mash.
Yeah. This is for another cast. Leave it alone.
Friend.
Dude. Leave it alone.
Yes.
I will buy you season one for, when's your birthday?
December 23rd.
You're a Christmas baby?
Yeah. Sweet baby Jesus and me. So yeah.
Well, you are definitely getting season one of the Golden Girls.
Oh, I'll watch it. You buy it. Digital?
It's good. No. It's good stuff.
Spoiler. Rose might get AIDS.
Jesus. I mean, it is. I mean, it's another episode, but just this show's entire premise is like four 8-year-old women trying to bone, right?
60-year-old women 180-year-old woman.
There's no fucking way those guys are 60. But that's what the show is, right? They're bone. Just trying to bone?
Yeah, they were 60. It was the 80s.
Answer the question.
No one has... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of boning on the show.
Okay.
But yeah. No scissoring. So take that as a positive or a negative. I don't know. It's up to you.
Okay, Grandma Porn Search Engine. So anyway, proceeding. So yeah, so that's mine. I'm so stoked. And for this one, it's... I am a bitch for anything that takes place in a time and place, and they really put a lot of attention to how they present the setting.
So you love period pieces.
Yes. No comment.
That was an old joke from a kneecast.
Yes, it was. But I do. And so I can't wait to just spend a couple hours in this 60s setting with his dialogue. And in this movie, I've avoided spoilers, but I think a lot of people are saying it's a little bit more... light in terms of what it's presenting. And there's going
to
be some heavy
I gotta
stuff.
Ask you, I was just going to ask you that question. From what I've heard is, I look forward to the Hollywood part of it.
Yes.
Like the stuntman, the Bruce Lee scene, like that's the yes. stuff I want to go for.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, is anyone else, that it's going to go down the Charles Manson path?
I think Manson is, it's not, everybody else was worried too.
It's
I don't think
it's focus?
I believe not.
Okay. But I'm more in if that's not the case.
My guess is there are going to be some major moments probably toward the end that tie into that, but I don't think that's the premise of it. I think it's just kind of a fun character piece. So yeah, I can't wait.
Tarantino's compared it to Jackie Brown in terms of tone.
That's a hard sell for me because Jackie Brown's the only Tarantino movie that I don't connect with at all, and I've seen once, maybe twice.
Watch it again.
Really?
It's good.
Yeah. I know you're and
Jackie Brown is a good movie.
Yeah. It's also one that it's not his source. I think it's Elmore Leonard, I think.
Yeah, it's Elmore Leonard.
Somebody's got to fact check me on these things. I tend to get things wrong, but he wasn't his.
De Niro makes that movie.
See, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the De Niro one. It's good.
He's pretty great. So, yeah, I'll see it at some point. Yeah. Cool.
Well, let's quickly run through the list then.
Okay,
what's yours? Oh, I didn't pick one?
You did.
What do you pick?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't pick one. And I'm going with Rambo 5 because I like to pick movies that could very well be complete. Dog shit.
I mean, dude,
I love going into something that could be dog shit and walking out going like, wow, that was amazing.
It
could be awesome.
Yes.
It could be. The last Rambo movie I took my wife to and she stood up and applauded.
Stop.
At a scene. Yes. Because she was so amped up over the carnage.
I remember the carnage, but was the movie itself any good? I don't remember it.
Was it the last one was good? Was the one before that? One of them got shit on hard.
So the last one was 4, right?
Yeah, the last one was 4.
It was just called Rambo. The one before that, Rambo 3, was the one with the, not the Russians, but the...
Is it the Middle East?
Or maybe it was the last one. Like, it just did not do well critically.
I think it did okay. It made a garbage bag full of money.
Three was a little bit of, because 1 and 2 are both phenomenal. Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up, 1 is a kid. We grew up on 1, and 2 was actually exceptional. 3 was...
2 was kind of a cartoon of itself.
Yeah.
2 was the big one, right? That's, which one was Rambo?
The first one is the classic film.
First Blood.
Just like in Rocky, the first one is the classic.
I mean, the premise was, it was just him against the hick sheriff. That was it. And he's up in the hills, and it's just, he's pushed too far, and it's a fucking perfect movie. The second one, God, it's been so long, but the second one was, he was supposed to go back to Nam to just take pictures of POWs, but then it becomes, I think, a POW escape movie.
Yeah.
And then the third one was like Afghanistan, something about, but it was more, he got into like a military thing. I don't remember much about it. And then the fourth one, Rambo proper, which was many, many years after 3, I remember we talked about the fucked up, like him in the back of a Jeep blowing guys' heads off. Yeah. I was like, who's driving
said Jeep? Oh,
yeah. But I don't remember a thing about it.
It was good.
I got to revisit it, actually, because I could use it.
That's the one where like a religious group comes out and they think they're going to be able to talk to the natives about Jesus.
Dude, I'm sorry. Like, you hear the Rambo stories, like, let's see. Who is everyone hate? Hillbillies, got it.
Yeah.
Who do we all hate? Religious leaders, got it. Who else do we hate? Terrorists. Man, we're just fucking checking the villain boxes off.
Well, then let's briefly synapse. Let's briefly talk about what the storyline of Rainbow Five is. It's about he is living with PTSD in Mexico with his caretaker in a house, and the caretaker's daughter gets abducted and kidnapped by some type of Mexican mafia and then he has to go, he's out of the game, but he gets pulled back into the game because he loves his caretaker so much that he wants to save the daughter.
So we are going to have a Mexican hillbilly cultist terrorist
drug lord
drug lord
against John Rambo
that looks like Liam Neeson from Taken.
Well, you know what? You have that many enemies. You better bring one thing. Ask me what's that.
What's that?
A lot of body bags.
I thought you were going to go something very racist with that.
On that note,
you'll live on things that'll make a bill keep going. One more time. Take two. Hold for edit. Boop.
He'll eat things that'll make a billy goat puke. He's John Rambo. I trained him. I'm scared of him. I don't remember these quotes at all.
Yeah, that's a pretty good quote. You're doing a good job.
Thanks.
On that very beautiful note, let's list off all the stuff that's coming out.
What else?
Okay. Are we going in order?
Let's go in order.
Riff.
Next, got to be Lion King.
Lion King. And the David Crosby, Remember My Name.
Oh, you're actually bringing that up? I want to see that badly. Really? Yeah, totally. I'm a sucker for like any kind of old music things. And that one, I read some stuff about. See, you were just brought up as a joke. I read some stuff about that. Apparently, everybody that has ever sang with David Crosby hates his guts.
Yeah, so he's a huge asshole.
Huge asshole. They address that in there. Yeah. So
nice. I've never heard a good thing about that guy.
They're going to talk about it.
July 26th, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So we already talked about that one. August 2nd. Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Oh, talk to me.
Stubbs and Shaw.
Stubbs and Shaw. You Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Stubby Pete. I can't wait.
That'll hit hard.
Right?
Yeah. Did you hear, going off topic for a second, The Rock is, he's gone. He's no longer in the Fast and Furious movies.
Yes.
So this is his last one?
No, I don't know if that's the case. He refuses to work with Vin Diesel.
I've always felt that was so made up, but yeah. if it is, who I don't give a shit. It's fine.
I don't want to work with candy asses either. You jabronis.
It's all about family.
Playing the SmackDown. How many other ones can I say here?
You can keep going.
Giving you the people's elbow.
August 14th, the Angry Birds movie 2.
Pass. Going on.
August 16th. Nothing much except for 47 meters down, Uncaged.
Oh God,
shark movie.
They made a sequel to that.
I think it's actually the third one, and the original one was
Shut your mouth.
The first movie was a direct to video. It came out on DVD limited, and then they pulled it, and then they released it in the theaters.
I heard that later. One was good. 47. The first
it was all right. It was fine for like late night cable.
Yeah. September 6th, It Chapter 2, which we're all pumped up for.
Can't wait.
Shazam.
Yeah. September 20th, we got Rambo: Last Blood, which we talked about. September 27th. We have 21 Bridges, which
absolutely going to see that movie.
They played that trailer before every Marvel movie because...
Yeah. The Russo brothers directed it. Chadwick...
I don't think they directed it. I think they
produced it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Tim Miller directed it, didn't he?
I don't think so. I think Tim Miller is working on...
Somebody directed.
He did Deadpool, right?
He did, but...
Yeah, the first
one. I thought it was a pretty well-known director. But yeah, they're the producers. Chadwick Boseman is the lead detective. And his dad was killed in the line of duty.
Do you know why that movie's not going to do well? Because people will not get over the fact that Chadwick Boseman is not speaking in his Black Panther accent. Okay.
They're going to be fine.
Racism aside, the movie looks great.
Ah, done not.
Yeah, cool. And he has to track down cop killers.
Oh.
See, his dad was killed as a cop, and now he is the foremost, like, tracker of cop killers.
So it's like a revenge flick.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, it looks okay.
And they closed down the 21 bridges.
Yeah. October 4th, The Joker, which we are all super
I think that for me
kind of iffy about.
No, that's my number two for the year.
Really?
You'll notice I put that ahead of Star Wars.
Wow. And
I don't know where to be on Star Wars. I can't wait. I mean, Star Wars, but Joker, I am so excited by it because I just read something as well where they're like, I don't think there's a green screen shot in this. That they really wanted to take it in a different direction and more gritty. And I tell you, that fucking trailer... Really? I don't know where this movie is going in tone, but it is dark, it is bleak, it is sad, it's going to be so, I cannot wait.
How good
wait.
Can it be without
Batman? How do you know there's no Batman?
That's a good point, but who do they get to play him?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, this is universe number 4?
Who knows? And I shouldn't be as in as I am, but I can't wait to see what they do with it. I think it's going to be pretty quirky.
Yeah. Shalaboof.
Yeah.
How happy would you be?
I'd be happy. I'd love Shia.
Yeah.
October 11th, The Addams Family, which is an animated movie.
Didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. They got some pretty good... Isn't Charlize Theron in it?
I think so. It actually looks pretty badass.
Ooh, Morticia.
October 18th, Zombieland 2.
I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to Zombieland 2, but I don't know if it's...
So Zombieland 1 I liked, yeah. but maybe I've only seen it once and I wasn't blown away. There's some... I mean, the Murray stuff was awesome, but
yeah.
Did you guys... Is it good?
It's good. I'm not sure if it warranted a sequel, but we'll have to see.
What's his name? You can't go wrong with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Woody's great.
Competing with that same weekend is Maleficent sequel, which will make oodles of money just because...
Do you think so?
I never saw the original.
I think
you
it
didn't?
Will.
No. One of the wife's favorite films.
Really?
It's really good. Ironically.
It's really good.
Not ironically, but yeah, she loved it.
Family friendly?
Yeah.
There's a reason why you go to Disney now and girls are obsessed with Maleficent.
They are. So, okay.
That's a good family. November 1st, Terminator Dark Fate. Tim Miller directed. November 1st.
I thought that was coming out sooner.
I'm pretty sure I've forgotten the last six Terminator movies. Like, what could they possibly
do? You don't have to
do?
Remember them because this is a direct sequel to Terminator 2.
And this is the second Terminator sequel to be completely backed by James Cameron.
James Cameron, the greatest director of our time.
He is. All right. So they're basically... So what they're doing is they're piggybacking off of Halloween. When Halloween, the most recent Halloween came out, they erased every other sequel and they said it was sort of a direct reboot meets sequel of the original. So they're trying to jump against the ones that were good.
Do you like that?
Halloween?
No. Do you like that?
That like, move?
Yeah. Like, hey, it's one and two are great. Three and four sucked balls. So we're just going to say they didn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, it's their best bet forward, but I don't know how they do this movie right because it just feels like every other attempt has been so wrong. It's kind of like the going after things like The Predator. Nobody's ever been able to recapture that magic. Alien, nobody's ever been able to recapture that magic. I mean, actually, Alien, I'll give them some credit for what they did with Prometheus. It's hard. Ooh. It is hard to get something that had a couple really strong parts and then a lot of and bring it back.
Yeah, so much of the Terminator Dark Fate trailer looks like blue screen garbage.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, is there's so much a reliance on the CGI that they
what
didn't.
What the fuck is blue screen, Chewie?
Blue screen is where it started. It was called chroma key, and then it went to green screen because I think they realized that green was an easier color to
wear. I like...
I think he's thinking about blue balls.
We'll help you out, buddy. Well, three toes will.
Moving on. November 8th, we have Shia LaBeouf's movie Honey Boy. And Last Christmas, which I think is... Oh, I can't remember what that is. I thought it was a horror movie, but I don't think it is. I think Last Christmas is
that Krampus some... 2, Last Christmas.
I never saw the first.
I neither.
Yeah. November 15th, we have that movie that they keep playing the trailer before the Marvel movies we're seeing, Ford versus Ferrari, which looks...
Oh, okay. I'm sure.
But competing with Christian that, Bale. Same weekend, Charlie's Angels, which looks like garbage.
What?
It's a Charlie's Angels reboot.
You didn't hear about this?
Directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Banks, who's Bosley in it, and Kristen Stewart as one of the angels.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so horrible.
She smiles a couple times in it, though.
I'm sorry we had to break this news to you.
You know what? Fuck that.
He deserves it. He's never seen an episode of Golden Girls. I'm going to tie you to a chair and make you watch that shit on repeat.
I'm in. Alan, you. Alan's a real Charlie's Angels fan. So I would think they should have just made a third in the Charlie's Angels series.
Alan.
With the recent ones. Those movies are fun.
Dude,
cute.
Have you seen Cameron Diaz recently?
No.
Exactly. So.
it's a riff. There you go.
It looks. It looks horrible. Patrick fucking Stewart is in it. I know.
As one of the
I don't
girls.
Know.
As one of the angels.
He's actually the main angel.
Very forward thinking.
Yes. I'll wear a long blonde wig.
No.
Engage.
Patrick Stewart, not Sean Connery.
All three girls. With just different wigs.
Three girls, one cup.
That's...
Engage. I'm pretty sure Doom just got a boner.
Hey, in the right light, me and Patrick Stewart, I'd go a couple rounds.
Yeah, why not?
Let's move on to November 22nd.
Do we have to?
Which is Frozen 2, which is going to make oodles of money.
Yeah.
And November 27th, which I was actually going to pick this trailer over what I talked about in my pick of the week for Knives Out.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that looks amazing.
Did you watch the trailer?
I did, and I'm so in. I'm so in. It looks like kind of a wacky mystery.
A whodunit.
Kind of like, it's not quite as tongue-in-cheek and satire as the original Clue movie. Did you ever see that? That was just
one of the greatest films of all time.
You know what? It shows up on lists. I just recently read a list of from Consequence of Sound. You know that site?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great site. It's kind of a better version of Rolling Stone. And they did a top 80s list. And they do lists a lot well. And they did a top 50 movies of the 80s. And it's a great fucking list. And it's on there. Clue was like in the top 15. And yeah. I'm like, you know what? I think that's solid.
Breathtaking.
It's Tim Curry is a funny fucking movie.
Yeah. Tragic story about that guy.
Yeah.
Why? What happened to him?
He had a stroke, I think. He's like in a wheelchair now.
What? Yeah, I didn't know.
It's
Moving on to December 13th, Jumanji The Next Level.
What?
Yeah.
I'll see it.
Yeah. Looks okay.
You can't beat The Rock. And
I've only seen parts of this recent one, but it looked cute.
Jack Black on point.
Yeah.
Now, there's two movies coming out December 20th. We're going to have to figure out which one's going to beat the other one. So we'll take a vote.
I just have a feeling this is going to be an easy one.
It's either Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker or the film adaptation, the new film adaptation of Cats. Go.
Cats.
Oh, got Cats.
Yeah.
Mr. Mistopheles is going to rape. I'm sorry, but that's... Wasn't there rumors of that? I feel bad. I shouldn't say that. I was going to say he was going to rape Kylo Ren. Same sex.
You are alone, my friend.
Kylo does seem like a cat person.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Crazy cat guy. I really want to sing a song from Cats right now, but I have none. Give me anything. What was there?
Memories?
Memories! I've never seen it.
It was a good take, though.
Thanks.
So Star Wars is going to close off the year because the following weekend, which is Christmas weekend, which is weird that nothing big is listed to come
Christmas
out.
Yeah, Christmas is a huge.
Is only Spies in Disguise.
Odd.
With Little Women in 1917, two smaller films that probably won't do much. No, I don't think anyone wants to compete with The Rise of Skywalker.
No.
And we are Dolby opening night.
Yeah.
I say we try to find something beefier than Dolby.
Like what?
A 4D.
Nice.
Or the X.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they have one over here.
Let's find
There's
it.
One, I think, in...
Gurnee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
Do we need 4D? Like, I don't want
to... I want to do the X. I forgot what they call it. Theater X or something where they actually have extra footage on the left and right of you.
Oh, there's no such thing.
Yeah, there is.
We have to find this. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm in. All right. Cool.
I think that does it for this cast.
That's in all the movies. Yeah. Awesome.
And we'll most likely, just like last cast, talk about what we talked in this cast in future casts, peppered into all the other casts. That's how things go here.
Welcome to our world on loop.
You want to see us out, Mr. Doom?
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Asteroid. Thanks for tuning into the Asteroid Factory podcast, where we talked about some of the tentpole films of 2019 that are still yet to come. We had I don't even remember my pick. It 2.
Rambo 5.
Rambo 5 and Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Hola.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm flabbergasted like a joke.
So tune in next time.
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
And put your ankles in it.
There it is.
That too.
And thanks for tuning in. This episode is brought to you by John Travolta's Rub and Tugs.